Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This Shia in Mitzvah Shem is not necessarily on the Parsha. This week I had a Yom Iyun in Ha'anot, which is a yearly Shia on Shmiras HaLoshen. And I didn't have time to prepare something both for Tisha B'Av and for that. But it's to do with the Hashivas of Loshen. And I'm going to give you that instead of the Shia, which we normally have on the Parsha. I hope you'll excuse me, but I hope you'll get something out of it. The theme of the Yom Iyun this year in Ha'anot is making a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through speech. Those connections. I don't think everybody's muted. Yes? Can I go ahead now? I think it's okay now. Wave if you can hear me. Good. Okay, fine. Let's go. So the theme of the Yom Iyun in Mitzvah Hashem this year in Hanok is making a connection through conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In reality, Rabbi Isai, you can even say this might be the raison d'etre of every Jew. It's the highest skill, meaning using the power of speech, and using it in the most sophisticated way to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very, very exclusive activity which we have, to be able to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, for example, you meet someone in the street and you say, hello, good morning. Go higher than that. You know, how are you feeling today? You know, maybe even higher you might go up. You might say, and can I do anything to help you? These are all beautiful expressions. What's the highest of all? The highest of all is talking to Hashem. Hashem Sefosai Tiftah. You're actually talking to him. And that's why the Gemara describes Tefillah especially as Dvoim She'omdim Beruma Shel Olam. And Chazal explained, in the heights of the world, the heights of man, his highest level of achievement, his peak level of achievement, is talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a phenomenal power. And you'll see, I hope, as the Shia develops, just how profound it is and prolific it is in our abilities of what we can do in our lifetime as being a Jew, a Yehudi. If you think about it and stand back a little bit, the day begins. Moida ani lefanecha. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me another day. A few minutes later, you start with brachas, anat yisradayim, and then kabbalas o malchus shamayim. The beginning of the day, and then the day ends. The last words out at the end of the day is Shema Yisrael again, Hamatir Chevlei Shena. Really, every day should be considered like a volume with a binding. And the binding is Shema and Moedani at the beginning and Shema at the end of the day. And that's really a day in the life of a Jew. It's made up of conversations, and the binding, which holds the day together, is the ability to be able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the highest level. Being able to talk is the greatest ability which we have as human beings. And talking to Hashem is phenomenal in its power, as you'll see, I hope, as the Shia goes on. It's exclusive. I remember learning that by Avraham Avinu, I think, and by Sarah as well, the Loshon Chazal is Bo Bayomim. They were coming in days. What does it mean, coming in days? Bo Bayomim means that every day was outstanding, was exceptional. Every day had its adornment. Every day was dressed up, and it had a unique ability to it to be like a day of Avodas Hashem. And therefore, they're all volumes. These are volumes. Each day is a volume with the binding at the beginning, the binding at the end, Shema at the beginning, Shema at the end, which is a testimony, which is a very powerful expression. And inside, the loose leaves, which are bound together, are all different levels of conversation which a person has, which are all packed up and put into the archives in Shomayim, and they're kept there until 120 years, and then one gains tremendous reward from them in Olam HaEmes and Gan Eden. Because look how you spent the day. They're beautiful days. Days of Bo Bayomim. Each day is growth, and each day had a unique ability to it. An accomplishment, no? First in, last out every day. Hopefully first in and last out into Olam HaBo. There's the last word, Shema Yisrael also, which a person leaves and goes into Olam HaEmes. So the conversation is really a crucial identity that we have as being Jews. The question is, of course, how are these statements made? Are they just scribbled down? Are they mumbled or garbled? How does it come out? Or is it a work of art? Are these statements which we make to our Kodesh Baruch Hu really something to be put aside? Are they really unique? Are they major testimonies? Are they works of art, or are they just a scribble? You know, what do they look like? How are they? The question is, of course, how they're said. If they're said in an articulate manner, clearly, if they're said eloquently, if they're said with a passion, you can imagine what type of reward there is in Olam Ha'emes. When these words of comments which you make, Ben Odom La'Mokon, are wrapped up in such a beautiful, exclusive way, you can imagine how unique they are. Each conversation, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, Manoim Goy Roleinu. No? What do Goyim say in the whole day? How much does it cost? Yeah, have a nice day. They don't reach this level. And therefore, Matov Chalkeinu, Manoim Goy, how great it is that we have the ability to lift the day up with our conversation. Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah Yisov Tzivanu. What an incredible, powerful statement that is. As you know, the word Kedusha means mufresh, separated, the Ramban says in Parshas Kedoshim. You're separated, you're different, you're unique. That's the definition of Mamleches Koyanim. You're unique because you're a bit Sheikh Yishon, you're sanctifying yourself with the mitzvahs. And you're saying that. It's not just the act that you do, you put on the tefillin, or you wash your hands. The words which are said lift the act up in the most exceptional way. Imagine saying however many times a day, 7-8 times a day, you recognize the wonder of your body. They're exclusive conversations which I have. A person develops himself and grows in a phenomenal way by the conversations that he has. And this is what you take with you. And Olam Ha'emes, these are the great conversations which you have. I was thinking about comparing the Shia. Where's the bracha for speech? Where is it? Well, Tokeach even is for the eyes. The Matir Asun is for all the limbs. Zeikev Kufufim is straight up. Asher Yotza is for the body. Matinos Yodayim is for the hands. Where's the bracha which you have for speech? Why don't we say, Elkeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Nosan Dibur Bapeh? Where is that? Where do we say it? And I asked a Talmud Chacham here in Bet Shemesh, the Aryeh Yudalevitz, a great Talmud Chacham, and he sent me something like a shik lolly back. And he discussed several ideas with me. And some people say, I saw in one of the, I think it's the Hachama of the Zungul Kreuzer, I think he says there that it can be in Kokeach Ivrim, because Ivrim doesn't just mean the eyes, it means the ability to express, not being dumb, but talking. Yesh Omin, some people say that it's Indian of Asher Nasan Lasech Vivino, Bina, be able to talk. But to be honest, I myself wanted to settle with, I think, the Chaim Volozhin brings it down, Nefesh HaChaim, at the end of Shah Aleph, he explains as follows. When we say in the morning, the bracha Elokai, Neshama Shemasatobi Tahoyavadi, my soul, my spiritual life, which gives me life, is Tahoyavad. Ato Boroso, you created it something from nothing. Ato Yitzauta, you formed it, it has a shape. Ato Nafachtobi, and you breathed it into me. Now we know that in the Chumash, when we say the Lashon Vayipach Ba'ato, he breathed into him. Rashi says there, Ruach Mamalala, the power of speech. Nefach Dobi is that he breathed into me, meaning I can talk. That's how Rashi translates the words in the Talmud. Rashi brings the Talmud, Ruach Mamalala, the power of speech. Ato Meshamwa Bekilbi, Ulahakzilo Bi Losid Lodoy. Now, calls Manshan Neshamba Bekilbi, and therefore, I'd like to suggest, I don't know if I'm right, when you say, Moida ani lefonecha, Hashem elokai, vibonkan amasim, adonkan amashomai, that is perhaps a bracha for speech. Because you're saying, you created it in me. The Chaim Volozhin brings down that Borosa means the neshama, Yotzalto means the nefesh, and the Fato means the speech. That's the bracha of speech. Perhaps that's it. Yesh le'os acher, pakeach ivrim, yesh le'os Hashem asanasach vivino, some people say vircha satayot, but la'anias daiti, It meant a tremendous amount to me when I saw that, and I thought, yes, and now you say it. There's the bracha. Because when you're dead, you don't talk. Maybe you can talk in your sleep, but the maisa, you're not conscious of what you're saying. But perhaps that's where the bracha speech is. And that's where it comes from. The recognition of what the neshama is being given for. That's the koyach which we have, which is used, and I'm suggesting that's the source of it that we have, where it comes from. You might turn around and say, yeah, but there are other things which you have to do in the day. You have to learn Torah, to keep Shabbos, that's Yitzchokah. There are many activities which you need to do. Why are we labeling specifically the conversations that a person has? Why are we saying that they are the main source of achievement? We're saying like this, that The highest exclusive sophistication is to talk to Hashem, using the power of speech and talking to him. Who's to say that's so important? Well, listen to the Ramban. The Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo couldn't put it clearer. The kavonas kol mitzvahs. The kavon of every single mitzvah is what? Shenamin belokeinu, that we should believe in Hashem, v'noida elov, and thank him, shehu bara'onu. That's it. Isn't it clear? Thank him, and that's the speech, no? Express words to him. V'hi kavonas hayitzira, and that's the reason for the creation of man. Man was created. She'ein lanu tam acher b'yitzir rishayna. There is no other reason for the original creation of man in the beginning. Look, ve'ein lo ker elyon chofetz lachta. He wants for nothing else. Milvad ze she'yeida ha'odam v'yoyde l'lakov she'boro. Then a man should recognize him and thank him. And that's why we have shul, says the Ramban. But there you have it. You're right. Of course Limud Torah is crucial. Of course Shabbos is and Stoker. But if you want to know the kavan of all the mitzvah is to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank him and praise him. And there you have it. That's why we're suggesting here that it's the most significant of all relationships that you have. When you use your speech, which you're what you're chosen for as a human being, and relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the nature behind it. I remember I was very fortunate when I was a student in London, and I was able to go to the minyan of Rav Brevda, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Stamford Hill. And there, the davening was, I can only tell you, something like a launch for Ruchnius in the whole of the day. It was a launch, mainly because of the nigunim and the nusach which was put into the prayers, which was an incredible nusach. I'll give you some examples. It used to start in the morning with brachas, and then Baruch She'omar V'Hoyoilom. I still daven like that. Va'ani b'chastecho botati yogel libi b'shuotecho shiro l'Hashem ki gomal oloi. I used to sing it out at the beginning and the end of each parasha. It was incredible inspiration, and you realize you're talking to Borei Olam. You're having a conversation with him. Hallelujah. Every Hallelujah was like a song at the beginning, at the end of the Hallelujah, the beginning of Hallelujah, different Nusrois. That's what it is. It's a launch. It lifts you up. And therefore, you become high. If you daven with such a Nusa, if you daven with such an intonation, then it can lift you up the prayer. And that conversation really is the Dveikus. And that's what we mean by Atem Adveikim Hashem Elokeinu. You can reach that in, especially in prayer, and make a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, we must add, I'm not going into it again now, but in the previous shiur we explained, and that was the great chokhmah behind Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. You remember we mentioned that there were 42 stages, which goes from the beginning of davening. Matovu is 42 words in Matovu, and then we went to Baruch Shema, and Kaddish has 42 words each section, and then you come to at the end, you come to first bracha of Shema Yosef, 42 words. You mentioned the 42. They're all a launch. Every part lifts you up from the avoda of the korbanos, which is the nefesh, to the avoda of the ruach, the speech, which is pesukei dezimra, the avoda of the neshama, which is birchas kriya shema, and then shayosh neshama, which is Shema Ne'ezri. The 42. We mentioned it on a previous occasion. Each section lifts you up in your speech, and that's the power behind it. And that, I think, is the main source, how we begin to understand and appreciate what does it mean connecting to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our speech. But really, we have to go a little bit deeper than that, and we have to be more intimate and more personal to understand and exactly what is behind the connection in speech. We have to go a little bit more, because we can't possibly ignore private conversations. Besides prayer, besides what you say in a Shachris Amin for a night, or brachas that you say, there's more than that. There's more. I saw in the Kaf HaChaim, he brings down a person, he says, this is a private one, nothing to do with prayer, nothing to do with the times of tefillah, not necessarily to do with the time of the eating. But the Kaf HaChaim brings down, whenever you hear anything which is good, which seems optimistic, which seems something which is nice to hear, say the words, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki La'olam Chasdo. Say it. Don't just think it, but say it out. Kaf HaChaim says, it's a very powerful step. Nothing to do with it, but in private moments. You hear something good. I don't know, you got a raise in your salary, or you managed to go to a good minyan, you heard a good shir. Say to yourself, Hodul Hashem Kitoi, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Shlach HaKadosh I saw brings out, on the words of the Kaf HaChaim, the Shlach HaKadosh says, you think it's very small, but it's an enormous avodah in Avodah HaKadosh, in Vekas. It's enormous, he said. You did it by yourself, your own instigation. It's not taken from the Siddur. It's you talking. And the Shraha says on the Kapha Chaim, you think it's a little line, but it's not. It's a very great avoider that you, in your own mind, in your own instigation, said those words. And that's private moments. And that's what I wanted to look at as well. I remember a bocha in the Mir who had, I must have mentioned it once or twice beforehand, but it's a beautiful story, who had a great deal of opposition to him sitting and learning in the Mir. The family were very much against it. The father wanted him to go back to law school. And it was very difficult. And he discussed it with me, and I said to him, let's go and speak to Rav Eliashib. And the problem was really exacerbated because every time he spoke to his parents, there was always an explosion. There was always a violent argument on the phone. The father screamed and the son screamed. It was terrible, terrible. And he couldn't talk to his parents anymore. He wanted to stay a little longer in the Mir, and the parents said, no, you must come back, otherwise we're cutting you off. We went to Rav Eliashib. And Rav Eliashib, this is what he said. He said, before you ever talk to them, take yourself aside and say a Perek of Tehillim and ask Hashem for Siyata Dishmaya before you have this conversation. It worked. He's still sitting in the Mir years later, meaning it changed everything. He brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the scene by his own instigation, not necessarily through a shachris or a minhag, but he asked Hashem, listen, I'm going through this stage at the moment. It's very difficult. I think also a girl was going out on a shidduch. Before she goes out, she should stand in her room besides the tehillim. Say something of your own. Say something of your own instigation. Find a time, a private time, to be able to talk to him. And that is a very, very powerful line, a powerful moment that you have. I remember reading just now, my wife has this book on Rebbetzin Jungweis, such a beautiful stories about her. But it says, I remember, I saw inside the book, that every time she got up to say a shiur, if you remember, she said a fabulous convention at the Madison Square Gardens in New York. She filled up the stadium there. And every time she ever went out to say a shiur, she always said before him, Hashem sefosai tivta ufi yagi filosecha. Beautiful line. In other words, Hashem, help me to say something. Why can't a person do that if you have to say something somewhere? Say a shiur. Or if a person has to go and talk to somebody, let me say the right thing. Hashem sefosai tivta. It's a very powerful statement the person is saying. I saw in one of the articles, I saw somewhere that, I don't know this is for everybody, Rabbi Yisrael, this is a very high madrega. I don't think I'm on this madrega, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyerach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, had said the following. He claimed that many, many people came and shared with him all his problems. They used to say, I have this tzoros, I have this tzoros with my son, I have the problem with Parnosa, I have the shabbat with the shidduch, people shared with me, said Rav Shlomo Zalman, all their problems. And he said, I also have many, many problems, many problems. But he said, I never share them with anybody. The reason is, he said, I don't need to, because no one can help me as much as Hashem can help me. He's really the only one who can help me. So only share them with Hashem. I'm not saying everybody's on that madrega. It's a remarkable never to share any problems you have with anybody. You know, people find it much easier to talk to people. But he was on such a level that I don't need to talk to anybody. I talk to Hashem. I share all my problems because no one else can help me as great as he can. Isn't that a beautiful line? I don't need to talk about my difficulties. I talk to Hashem privately. That's enough for me. Beautiful line. Listen to these words, which I took out of the Sefer of Rav Avigdor Miller. A private time, private time. I'm going to read it out in Hebrew. It's on the Sefer Or Oilam, which Rav Avigdor Miller wrote. But it's a beautiful line. Listen to these words of Rav Avigdor Miller. Be'efsharuscha lihiyois odom godol. You have an opportunity to become a great man. Leloi ba'amat, without a great deal of pressure, without a great deal of strength. Belisha mishu roi'er, without anybody knowing, b'shamer, no one should see and no one should hear you. B'sheket sheket domu, said Rav Miller, say as follows, ani ohev otcha Hashem. Say it out yourself. I love you, Hashem. Say it out. Ani ohev otcha Hashem. Say those words. Kama anoshim me'oidam lo omzus. How many people, says Rav Avigdor, have never said those words by them? You might say, I have to say Hashem alakecha. But say by yourself, ani ohev otcha Hashem. Hagam she'akodesh baruch hu metzuveh ve'ahavta es Hashem alakecha. Ken, very nice. You say that in Shema. Ach mosai be'emes te'ohev oisot. But when you actually really love him, when you say the words, Hashem, I love you. When, lochein, pam be'yoin, says Rav Avigdor, once a day, say to the one, without anybody hearing you, in your own quiet time, I don't know, you're in a field or you're in a room by yourself, no one's there, just you and Hashem. the Mishnah Atenach Chaim Brius Va'oid Devarim, so everything that you have She'ata Ohevo Oto Amira Kazu. And listen to these words. This is an American talking. Says of Avigdor Miller, such a line is dynamite. He says it's dynamite. He tadlik es eish belev shelcha. It'll light up your heart. It's dynamite, he said. Once you do that, say by yourself. I'd rather you say in Shema, but say ani ohev otcha Hashem. Hashem, a beautiful line, beautiful line. If a person can do it by themselves without the instigation. I remember watching my mother, Aleha Shalom. She, when she davened in the morning, I remember coming down into the kitchen and seeing her standing there. And I realized, just as a child, this is very important time to her. She would stand in a corner quietly and daven. And I remember so impressed that she had quiet time with him. She was talking, she was a teacher, she went out to teach. But it made a great impression on me. Just talking to him by yourself. And I felt she was very much talking to Hashem by herself. In her old age, when she was over 90, she couldn't really read much and couldn't do much. She just used to open up a safe of Tilim in front of her and put it on her lap. She couldn't read it much. But she wanted that connection was there. It's a private connection, besides the times of Tilim. And I think that's really where all the Siyata Dishmaya comes from a person. A person gains in Siyata Dishmaya when he makes private time for it, besides the regulatory times of prayer. Something good happens to you, like the Kaf HaChaim, say Ani Ohev Hashem, or you don't have to share everything with it. I'm not saying everybody's on the Madrega for Shlomo Zalman, never to share a problem, but think of it like this. No one can help you as much as that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That creates a very, very great connection, a very great connection. But the times that we're going through with the corona and all the pandemic which is going on, I think there's more to be added in this connection through speech that we set up till now. We said through tefillah, we said private moments. But perhaps there's something even more in our times which we'll be conscious of in order to make connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw a mama of Elia Brudny, Shia Bali, the Rosh Hashiva of Nir in New York. And it was a beautiful mama, and it took me a long time. I thought about it a great deal, and I thought it was so true, it's phenomenally accurate about exactly what we're going through. He learned a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk is in Tehillim Samach Ches. Listen to this pasuk. It's talking about the times when Klal Yisrael came over by Yamsuf. Listen to these words. They crossed over Yamsuf. Elokim Moishiv Yechidim Baisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu settles individuals at home. He takes the family home. Moitzi Asirim. He takes out those who were locked in. The Koshoros. In chains. He releases the people, the Koshoros. Now, Rav Brudny said as follows. He didn't go as far as I'm going. I'm suggesting that, really, Moshe Yechidim Baisa is a quarantine, though. He didn't go as far as that. I'm suggesting maybe Moshe Yechidim Baisa, people are locked in their house, and he's Moshe Yechidim. He takes you, doesn't mean the Koshoros, chains. It actually means, is Zion in Tehillim. Rashi brings down, it's talking about the springtime, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out of Shas Kosher. It wasn't cold, it wasn't hot, it was nice time, springtime. That's how the normal translation is. But the Kosher is also means in chains, meaning, and another meaning of it, says Rav Brudny, the Gemara in Sotah says, Bechi v'shira. Kosher is made up of two words, Bechi and Shira. Bechi is crying, and Shira is song. He took us out in cries and also in song. It means like this. Nebuch, all the people who've been lost in the corona, we come out of this time and we have nothing but Bechi to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The great people who we've lost, the great leaders, the Askonim, the Tzaddikim. It's mamash a time of great Bechi, private wailing of all that's going on and people who are sick in hospital. A close friend of mine, his brother is in hospital, and he's on an incubator and an inhalator, and he's been put into a coma, and the family can't even come to the hospital. They have to stay outside the hospital. They can't even go in. The Shari said it has to stand outside. It's an incredible tzad. How is a tzad? They don't know what's going on with a brother. They wanted to put a telephone by his bed. At least he could hear things. But there's nothing, no connection whatsoever. A tremendous bechi. That's b'koshos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, not just by Yam Suf, but in these times, there is great bechi. Nebuch, Almanas, families which are broken, children who lost their parents or in this corona. The plague, the pandemic, is a tremendous time of bechi. That's one side of it. And therefore, our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time, when we are Moshe Yechidin Baisel, we're sitting in our homes, it's Bekoisholis, Bebechi. Bechi means there's a great deal of sorrow which is going on. And therefore, we must cry and sympathize and empathize with these people who are going through the great difficulties and daven for their families and give them chizuk as much as we can. But the other side, of course, our Baisel is Shira as well. This tremendous Shira, meaning we're here today and we're not in a hospital. We're able to function and make Shabbos and go about our daily lives. That's an incredible Shira. So in our connection with our Kodesh Baruch in speech, it's not just the Bechi, but the Koisholos, the Bechi, or the Shira. And of course, the source of that is really in Nishmas, which we say tomorrow morning. How can we possibly thank the Kodesh Baruch for all that he's done? And it goes on and says, we're alive, we're not being injured. And he saved us from a plague. And from terrible illnesses, the Ne'amonim did his son. He lifted us up. Incredible, we're safe on that. We, you and I, who are able to sit and listen to the Shia and grow and go to shul and still learn Torah and talk to people on the phone, that's a tremendous chesed. All that I've had until now, tomorrow when we say Nishmas, it should be said with great song and great appreciation. You didn't need me, you didn't ditch me, you didn't throw me in a hospital with Rabban Shalom or leave me with no strength in me at all. I'm still here, I'm still around. And don't ever leave me, Hashem, in the future. That, Rabbi Sai, is the Shema. It's a little bit like a pendulum. Goes backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. Bechi and Shira. Bechi and Shira. Meaning, everything I've had until now is Rachamecha, Chasodecha. And in the future, Altit Sheli, in the future, look out for me in the future. Don't leave me, Hashem. That's the Shira. The Shira is the appreciation and the thanks. And that's what we must put into our connection when we talk to Hashem. Even on a private level. Sometimes people ask me, how are you doing in these conditions? So I mentioned to them, how can I thank the Kodesh Baruch? I'm here. I'm not in a hospital. I'm wearing a mask, but that's a shira. At the same time, one must have a bechi as well. And I feel it's a very strong point in our personal connection in talking to our Kodesh Baruch in a private way. Hudoresh in quarantine, that we should have this bechi and shira in our lives together. I want to take a little bit deeper, a little bit further. But I think one of the consequences of this private conversation which one has with a Kodesh Baruch Hu is under these circumstances. I'm sure, I know for a fact, many, many people have an awful feeling of abandonment, of isolation. Because you can't go out, you can't sit at tables. And I felt it terribly at Seder night, which we used to have people at a Seder and Yom Tov coming to our table. We couldn't have them at our table. And this is people who usually come who don't have homes and Shabbos tables for themselves. It is an abandonment. It's a feeling of great isolation and alone. So what do you do under those circumstances? How do we, in our conversation, how do we relax our Kodesh Baruch Hu in that way? And those people who are alone, there's a beautiful story told of Yeshiva Bocher in Radin, who came to the Chofetz Chaim and he was terribly depressed and terribly down. And he turned around and said to the Chofetz Chaim, "Oh, Rebbe, I'm alone. All my family have gone off to live in America and I'm here alone in Europe." Evidently, Chofetz Chaim lifted up his eyes and raised his arms in a big smile and said, "Alein! Alone? A Yiddish kemonisht alein. A Yiddish never alone." Beautiful. Alone? You're not alone. Who said you're alone? A Yiddish never alone. If you think about it, and I made a bit of a little case study for myself. Think of all the people in the Torah, as much as you can, who spent years alone. What did they do with their time? What did Noach do for 120 years when he was building the table? What was he doing? Just knocking nails in all day? What was he doing? Pashtus, he was making a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this time. No? What was he doing with his time? He was alone. Nachish Tzadik Tomim. He was completely alone. Think of Avraham Avinu. From the age of 3 until the age of 75, Hashem never spoke to him. He had a nase of all casting, but never spoke to him. He was alone. He was by himself. He was in a cave, hiding from Nimrod, and He was alone mostly. What did he do all the time? What do you think he did all the time? He connected himself with Hashem. He made a personal connection with his conversations. Of course he did. Think of Sarah. For 90 years, no children. A barren woman. What did she do all the time? Just entertain guests? She was by herself. She was alone. She had no children to look after. What did they do, all these people? Think of Yaakov Avinu in the house of Lavan, looking after his fleet. For 20 years, he was working for a mafia landowner who was a terrible gangster and a swindler. And every time he came, checked on changing the deals. What did he do all the time? He just cried? No. He made a connection with Hashem. He spoke to Hashem. He talked to him. Think of Yosef in a prison. What did he do? What did all these individuals do in the years of loneliness? What did they do? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was there in Mitzrayim for 80 years, he never came back until he was 18, came back to Mitzrayim. He was in Midian for over, I think, 40 years, and he was looking after the sheep of Yisroel. What was he doing all the time? He was talking to Hashem. Must have been there. Think of Esther in the palace, alone. All these people, and the greatest example perhaps I can give to you is, of course, David HaMelech. David HaMelech, on the run, a fugitive, never did any crime, never did anything wrong, literally alone. And there are beautiful passages in Tehillim, which we have. He ran from one place to another. I think I once counted them up, there were 8 stops. If you remember the Sudas Rosh Chodesh, which he never turned up to, he then fled from Yerushalayim to Nov, from Nov to Gat, from Gat to Moas Adulam, Moas Adulam, Mitzvah Moav, Yacheres, Ein Gedi. So I think there are 8 places which he went to. Every place, Shaul caught up with him with 3,000 soldiers. He was on the run. He had no food, no vegetation, no protection. What did he do all the time? Hashem roi lo yechsa b'noisdeshe yabitzeni amen menuchas yinaleni. He wasn't hallucinating. He was getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, all these people use the time to their maximum. It's true, we are alone. Many people nowadays, because of the corona, spend a lot of time by themselves. With me, myself, and I, you know, to create that connection. And once you can connect that connection, then you feel much stronger and you're not alone. You realize Hashem is there. Hashem roi la'yachsa. If you can make that in a personal conversation, then you can grow a tremendous amount. There's a beautiful line of Moshe Cordovero in the Sefer Reishis Chochma. He says a beautiful point, which I got great chizuk out of. He says as follows, the Ramat, that in the times of Golus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in his home. So he's around, the king is around. Now, if he would be in his palace, so a sandwich or something would never really suffice you to make a banquet for the king. But if the king is on the run, on the road, he's in Golus, and he's running around from place to place, a little sandwich or something that he put aside for the king is a great, great benevolence, because the king will treasure it so much. You looked after me when I was on the run, when I was out of my home, said the Ramak, said the Moshe Kodibel. That's a Kodesh Baruch in the times of God. He's not in the Beis Hamikdash. He's on the road. He's with you, Hashem Imcha, Hashem Tzilcha. And therefore, if you connect with him, it's a tremendous connection you made, even though it's a time of Golus. But that connection which is made in Golus is like you made a great banquet in his palace, because that's all he has at the moment. He doesn't have the korbanos, says Rav Moshe Cordovero. He has just a few meals here and there, like a snack here and there. Giving the king something when he's on the road is very treasured by the king. And that's what we're doing. A conversation here and there. Say Mo'oshi L'Hashem Kol Tav Mi'olai. Say Hodu L'Hashem Kitoi. Say Ani Ohev Otcha Hashem. That connection builds you up in it. Let me look at you, tell you something else, which I think is a beautiful, beautiful line. I heard it from my neighbor, my dear friend, Yudid, from Hillel Belsky, Shia Barishi, Chazak. I think he heard it from Rav Putna. So it's a beautiful line from Shir HaShirim. Listen to this. You say Shir HaShirim tonight, before Shabbat, beautiful thing to say. Listen to these words of Shir HaShirim. Hey, of Zion. And Shlomo HaMelech is describing Klal Yisrael at the time, at the end of Golus, towards our time. Listen to these words. Shuvi, shuvi, hashulami. Shuvi, shuvi, v'neches ebor. Come back, shulamis. Shulamis means klanitzor. Come back to me. Shuvi, shuvi, come back to me again. V'neches ebor. Let's have a look at you.
The meaning is, there are four Shuvis. Shuvi, come back to me after Bavel. Shuvi, come back to me after Pas, after Persia. Shuvi after Yavon. Shuvi after Edom. After all the periods of Golis, Kalisar, come back to me. I've got the Shvahu calls you back. The Nechazebot. Let's have a look at the Kala. What does the Kala look like? What does she look like after all the periods of Golis? The beautiful line though. What is the countenance, what's the beauty of the Kala, Kalisar, after all these periods of Golis? What is unique about the Kala? Like the dance of the camp. What does he mean, the dance of the camp? Rashi says on those words, the Kala, Kalisar, looks like, after all the periods of Golis, like the Gedulas of the Degolim in the Midbar, Rashi says. The greatness of the flags in the Midbar. What does it mean, the greatness of the flag? A flag showed independence, individuality, personal characteristics. Reuven had this flag. A degel means your uniqueness as a person, as an individual. Kedulas HaDegolim means you are unique for this purpose. You are unique for this person. Each person in Kalisar, Avimazot, was like a degel. Each shevet had its own. But the uniqueness of each person, said that Futna, for the dance is when you hold on to hands with everybody else and you're jumping up. Always in a dance, you jump up and you come down. You're always striving to lift yourself up. Your individuality is to jump up in your way that you can and you come down again. You keep on jumping up. That's the nature of a dance. You're always skipping. That's a dance. You're up and down, up and down. Your individuality. And that's the greatness of Klal Yisrael before the Mashiach will come. What do you see as unique in Klal Yisrael? Jumping up and trying to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Dveikus. And that's what we're talking about today. The ability to lift oneself up and connect with him. And that's a unique quality which is before the Mashiach comes. Each person in their home, in their individuality, in their isolation maybe, if they think they're abandoned or something, trying to lift up, trying to daven with more kavana, trying to talk to him, Hashem Ani Ohev Otcha, trying to thank him, Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov, whatever I do have, I thank him for. That lifting yourself up is the trait which is unique with the Kala, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees in the Kala in Knesset Yisrael before the times of Mashiach. The dance of the camps, the individuality of each person trying together in a dance, you hold on to other people. I mean, as much as you can, you can't really hold on to people in our times now. The might of the ability to join up with people and share with people as much as you can. And the individuality of people, that's what the greatness is of Klal Yisrael. I wanted to share with you, just to give you a little bit of chizuk at the end, a beautiful song, which I heard from the Fine Waxman, and it's a beautiful line. I once heard it, he once sang it, I think at a masibah or something, but really it sums it all up. And I'm suggesting that when you go to sleep at night, and you said Shema, you're lying on your pillow, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, what type of day did I have? Think about these words after you said Shema, or maybe say them yourself, maybe before Shema, but listen to these words. I believe in Hashem, I trust in Hashem, there never is a moment when that I am alone and I'm on my own. I believe and I trust in Hashem, and I understand that he's holding my hand, and every step is perfectly planned. He's holding me tight, and I'll be all right. I believe and I trust in Hashem. Do it again. I believe in Hashem, I trust in Hashem, there never is a moment when that I am alone and I'm on my own. I believe and I trust in Hashem, and I understand that he's holding my hand, and every step is perfectly planned. He's holding me tight, and I'll be all right. I believe and I trust in Hashem. If you say that at night, I said it when I was lying in bed after my stroke. I remember it gave me tremendous chizuk. You know, all that you've been through, all that you tried, is holding me tight, and I'll be all right. I wish you all sweet dreams at night. Go to sleep with a good smile on your face and a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, good Shabbos to everybody.
Thank you.
Shabbos, everybody.
Charles, thank you, Rabbi.
Hey, Joshua.
Sorry.
I don't hear you, Yosef.
Any chance you could email me the words?
You can take them from the Shia. Take them from the Shia. I'll email you the words. Write to me on email and I'll write back.
Thank you.
Write a